Welcome to Command Control Power, a weekly podcast hosted by three certified members of the Apple Consultants Network, drawing from over 30 years combined experience. We talk shop, interview vendors and colleagues, and share what we've learned while operating our technology consulting practices. This is Joe Saponari of CIMAC, and my two co-hosts are Sam Valencia of the HCS Technology Group and Jerry Zygmunt of MacWorks. We are live at commandcontrolpower.com, the first Tuesday of every month, where new episodes are posted weekly. Thanks for listening.
This special edition of Command Control Power is sponsored by ProSoft Engineering, software made with excellence since 1984. Adagy, the cloud-based Mac management platform. Jamf Now, set up, manage, and protect those Apple devices in minutes. And Watchman Monitoring, we find problems before they find you.
This is a live broadcast, so this is live right now, going live on Mixlr. Enjoy it. Ladies and gentlemen, Command Control Power.
Thank you for having us here. We are Command Control Power. Many of you probably know about us already, but we're at commandcontrolpower.com. We'd love to have you guys listen on a regular basis. So we hope you do already. I'm Joe from CIMAC. Thanks.
Hey, you got a woo. I'm Sam Valencia from HCS.
Oh, thanks.
Wow.
And I'm Jerry Zygmunt from MacWorks. We're all in Connecticut. And we have our first question of the evening. Adam, yes, please.
So which of you is command, which is control, and which is power?
We talked about
it. We've never gotten that question before.
That's a great question. Yeah, we're kind of, I don't know, do we have official...
I like to think of myself as control.
Okay, I'll be command, and Jerry can be power, I guess.
Sure, I'll take that. So our shows are released faithfully every Tuesday morning at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Time. We try to do one show a week, and frequently it's just us talking, basically shop, or we call it like water cooler talk for Apple consultants, and often we have guests as well. I have a lot of friendly faces in the audience who have been guests on our show, and it's great to see everybody again. So first things first, we're going to tell you a little bit about the t-shirts. We have a special Aces t-shirt, Sam, turn around, with our sponsors on the back.
Limited edition for Aces 2017.
We have a few left. What are we going to do with those, Joe?
Well, so first of all, if we've missed anyone who's a patron, a Patreon supporter of the show at the $25 level and up, we have shirts for you, so make sure you let us know if we've missed giving you one, but I think everyone has them by now. If you pledge today to become a patron, you will get the shirt. We can hand it to you. We'd love to shake your hand and hand it to you. And also, we're having a special gathering tonight before dinner at the same location, Canyon Ranch, for beverages. We'd love to give everyone a free drink who supports us at that same level on Patreon. So if you sign up today, you can get a shirt and also have a drink on us. You're also welcome to just stop by, just not be on our tab if you're not our patron. And in addition, we'll do a quick giveaway. So I had a question here. If your phone is experiencing low power, low battery, and you switch on low power mode, and then you plug it in later to charge, at what percentage does low power mode turn off again?
78.
I thought I heard you say 80 first, but somebody over here had the right answer. I think it is 80%.
Yeah. Two almost simultaneous.
Okay. All right, I think you were first. I heard it out of this side first. Was that you said this? Okay, come on up and we'll give you a shirt. Congratulations. And you know what, somebody else called it out here simultaneous.
Yep.
Yeah, come on up, Adam. All right, cool. All right, congratulations. I don't know, what size?
XL.
Okay, perfect. Sam, you got it.
This makes really good radio, by the way.
Yeah, so we're giving a shirt to...
some fascinating stuff you'll hear
releasing. David Milazzo of Macroscopic, and Adam Angst, of course, of Tidbits.
The famous right. Adam Angst of Tidbits.
Two t-shirt winners. Awesome.
As opposed to the other Adam Angst, who actually is a midget and has played with the band Mini Kiss, and I am not making that up.
Is that right? Excellent.
All right, one more order of business. If you don't want the commemorative t-shirt for Aces this year and want the regular one with the Command Control Power logo and have you tried restarting on the back, Teespring.
That's on Teespring, yep.
That's so on you Teespring, so you just look for Command Control Power.
I think it's, teespring.com/try-restarting, I believe, so you can find it there.
And I think they're $23. And so you could get one of those if you're interested. We've got another campaign going for those.
Enough shameless plugging.
Yeah. Well, speaking of shameless plugging, we should take a moment our sponsors here for helping make it possible. Of course, the Aces Conference. Thank you, Justin and team. You guys do a great job, and we're happy to be back again. couple of new sponsors, Adagy. I'm sure here everybody has heard about Adagy. We've talked about it a lot on the show. Basically a cloud-based Mac management platform. I know Jason is here. Everyone go talk to Jason and tell him that you heard about Adagy through Command Control Power, just officially. Thank you for sponsoring us. Also, ProSoft Engineering, makers of Drive Genius 5 and Data Rescue 4, only two of their tools, of which we've used many times over the years, of course. Recent guest on our show as well. Jamf Now, cloud-based Mac device management for Macs and iOS. I'm sure you've heard about Jamf as well. Sam, you're now a Jamf integrator.
Almost.
Okay. It's a long and steep road to climb. Thank you, Jamf, for sponsoring us as well. And of course, everyone's favorite, Watchman Monitoring, Alan Hancock, thank you. So we almost promised not to do a show of hands. We'll do one, okay? How many people have not heard about Command Control Power? I shamed those few people last year. All right. So assuming most of you have heard of us, where did you hear about this podcast? I'm just really curious. Word of mouth?
Colleague.
A colleague mentioned it.
Shelly
mentioned it. Awesome. Awesome. Anybody else? Any other? Just shout it out.
Yeah, searched up the podcast on Apple.
Nice, okay. Searching the podcast directory on iTunes, great. Now called Apple Podcasts, obviously, as you said. Anybody else have any feedback, just out of curiosity?
Mac admins,
Slack, right, on the Slack or on the podcast? Awesome. Yeah, they do a podcast as well.
Mac Admins. If you're not listening to the Mac Admins podcast, it's another great, completely different focus. Their lens is focused more on the admin side, the administration side. We're working with larger organizations, but there's a lot of great content there. A show or two ago, they had on the CEO of Jamf, and that was quite a fascinating interview. So lots and lots of great stuff. And they're very active in Slack, and we have a really great supporter in Tom Bridge. Yeah. So if you know Tom Bridge, he's a great friend of the show, and we've had him on a number of times. Just one other thing before we get into the meat of the show. If you want to take a picture, we wouldn't mind, because we'll probably end up putting something on the website. So at some point, if the mood inspires you and you think the lighting on Joe's face is just right, snap away, and we'd love to have a copy of that. He wanted to take selfies of himself while we were doing this. We told him kind of a bad idea. So again, one of the things we want to do is make this flow completely interactive. So we, rather than sort of open it up for questions in the end, we'd love to have you kind of come up and join us as the flow of the conversation goes along for the next 50 minutes or so. So one of the things that we thought we'd launch with is a good way to kickstart or jumpstart your business. I'm going to do the first share of the night. So I'm a single member LLC. I started in the early 2000s, so I haven't been in Mac tech. I've been supporting Macs for a long time for an institution, but I haven't been an independent consultant until maybe the last 15 years or so.
Still a long time, Jerry.
Still, yeah, a good long time. I'm much younger than I look. So that's why we're taking the picture. So, but one of the things that I noticed, and I've been sharing this information on some of our subsequent shows, is that initially when I carved out my business, I wanted to make it a very boutique business that focused on mostly small to medium-sized business. If I got a medium-sized business on the hook and I could support them basically with my army of one, all the better. And some of the tools that we talked about, Adagy, Watchman Monitoring, you know, so help you get there. And it's much, much easier now than it was 10 years ago. But one of the things that I'm seeing, at least in my own area, and again, we all share, you know, Connecticut's a pretty small state, but we don't see much overlap. And we're not really head-to-head or colliding with business all that often. But I think I've had to sort of broaden my focus a little bit more and think about residential business and how to bring residential business and maybe still be as discriminating as I was before with some of my business customers and not take on every single business that asks me, well, can you do this? But the tech we had before, they weren't charging whatever your price is. They were charging, you know, negative 0.5x. You know, can you do that? You know, and so that those types of businesses I would normally not take business from. So I didn't take work from every small to medium sized business that came my way.
You just send them to us if you didn't like them.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's happened.
But one thing I didn't notice was that I needed to do a little bit more residential focus. And I thought, like, what was a good way to sort of have an entree to that? So one of the things I just most recently did, and I actually haven't even rolled out the program yet, is I went to Moo, which is a great place to get cards printed up. And I had a card with my business logo and my URL and I think a phone number and a place for my client's name. And on the back, I put the Amazon logo. And I would give any of my clients that sent me another customer, and while I was there at the appointment, they gave me the card that I gave my client, they would get a $50 gift certificate. And I was thinking like, well, what should I do? What kind of a credit and what kind of thing would really resonate and really make them do this and maybe even want to make the referral? So this is kind of like where I'm at. I'm testing the waters, and if you listen to shows in the upcoming weeks, you'll probably hear some of the feedback of how that's gone for me. But I figured at $50, you know, that high watermark, they would remember that and they would hopefully pass it on to their friends, and we would. And this is Andy Esposito from
Espo.
You know,
he wants so badly to call you Esposito. I don't know
for
why.
For some reason, I had it in the back of my mind.
I never played hockey either, but you know, coming from Boston, they expected it. I was just going to say that we've been doing a $50 Amex gift card, pretty much the same thing that he's talking about, for about, I don't know, 4 or 5 years now. And if someone does a 2-hour engagement, then the referrer gets the Amex card. Lately, there was some feedback. You know, we're having some internal conversations, and this consultant that we're working with said, well, you know, maybe $50 isn't that much. Maybe you should make it $200. And I said, well, and we thought about it. I said, I don't really think that it's the amount of money. I don't think it's the $50 versus $200 that makes the difference. They're going to refer us anyway, hopefully. And the 50 is just a little extra, you know, a little extra icing. Now, I suppose if someone handed us a $10,000 managed services agreement, maybe a little more than a $50 gift card.
Sure.
Right. I would hope so. So, but Andy, what do you do about the trouble that I've experienced over the years where people don't want to actually refer you to a friend or a colleague of theirs because they want you to remain available to them as much as possible?
I heard you talk about that on the show. Was that?
We've talked about this.
Yeah, protective of the tech.
Yeah. Hopefully I haven't had that happen. I don't know. I mean, what I found is that most people are, it's like an ego gratification thing for them to refer someone who they enjoy working with. It makes them look better.
Right.
So I think that to me is, in my experience, that's been a more powerful motivator than not.
That makes sense.
Right, right. And I'm correct in assuming that the bar had to be high enough with that $50 certificate where it actually made it interesting for them. And who doesn't like getting a $50 certificate, you know, in your email, you know, so.
I love the way you're double miking it.
Thanks, Andy.
That's the power.
Because of the power, yeah. Does anybody have any other tips like this to share, ways of generating business? Yeah, if you could come on up here.
We've got Steve Sorbo making his way to the microphone. Steve is back here is this your second ACES conference or third?
Third.
Three of a kind.
Wow.
So.
That's the hat trick.
That's the hat trick. Right, Steve Sorbo Esposito, yeah. Right.
So I have one that I've rolled out a few years ago and one that I read about online that I haven't rolled out yet, but I'm really excited. So the first one is a referral bonus where if somebody refers a client to me, I tell them, make sure they use your name so you get the credit. And what they get is a 1-hour credit when they book for two. So the longstanding client, I get back in touch with them, I thank them, and then they get that basically a 50% discount. But what I have found sometimes is that what the exciting thing is that they are somebody I maybe have not worked with and engaged with for a year or two, and now they're back on my radar screen and I'm on their radar screen, and it ends up being, yeah, I've given them an hour's comp, but they have enough new work that it turns into a longer extended project, and it just allows me to tickle that engagement that would not have happened without, and they are the ones that were proactively starting that conversation by saying whoever, you know, across the fence to their neighbor or at a cocktail party that their friend had a problem with their Mac or an iOS device and they needed support. Oh, I know a guy. So that's the first one, a referral bonus. And the second one is something I just read online recently was, what I'm gonna do for all brand new clients, I'm gonna send them a handwritten thank you note, and maybe it will be back on the back of, you know, some branded product. And I think it just speaks to something that's the opposite of what we're all about, the digital world. It's gonna be handwritten. I'm kind of a nerd when it comes to pens, so it allows me to scratch the itch of using a real good, honest-to-goodness pen. I'm an English major, So I get to still do handwriting, you know. And so I'm curious to see how that's going to turn out when, after that first meeting with a brand new client, I go in and solve their problems. And they're going to get in their mail a little thank you note. And I've read about examples where the guy who owns the small car maintenance shop, you know, sent his new customer. And that's kind of like, wow, that's... And that person's going to go, that's, I'm going to go back to that person. So
yeah, that personal touch makes a huge difference.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, that just handwritten note tells them a lot more.
Yeah. I guess you don't get that in the digital, everything. And I'm noticing even my handwriting's horrible. So this is a great way to resolve that.
Right. And you said it's going to arrive in the mail. Shocking. You know,
Keep the federal government in business. So.
Right. Sorry. Thanks, Steve. I think it also speaks to just touching base with your clients in any manner, way, shape, or form. I mean, you're doing this as a promotion. Like you said, Steve, you're reaching out to them and talking to them, and then all of a sudden, there's a project that comes along on the horizon. And it's any little way that you can touch base with your client, whether it be to shoot a promotion over to them or just check in with them, or a couple people that have presented today have talked about those quarterly meetings with the clients. Keeping in touch, you never realize how much it actually brings back some more business a million times over.
Let's take a moment to thank one of our sponsors for this special episode of Command Control Power, Jamf Now. You can find out more at jamf.com/CCP. That's JAMF.com/CCP.
As you grow your business and start to buy more tech, it gets harder to keep track of everyone's Macs, iPhones, and iPads. Figuring out how to secure the iPad that your sales rep lost can be tough, especially when you're in different locations. Jamf Now makes that and a lot more. You can configure settings, protect sensitive information, even lock or wipe a device from anywhere. Jamf Now secures your stuff so you can focus on your business instead.
Command Control Power listeners can start securing their business today by setting up the first three devices for free. Add more for just $2 a month per device. Create your free account today at jamf.com/CCP. That's JAMF.com/CCP. And thanks again to Jamf Now for sponsoring Command Control Power. Let's take a moment to thank another sponsor for this special episode of Command Control Power, Adigy. You can find out more at adigy.com/CCP. That's ADDIGY.com/CCP.
Make Adigy the crown jewel of your Mac managed service platform. Adigy makes it easy for you to manage all your Mac assets. Are your drives encrypted? Do you hold the file vault keys? Are you aware of Apple warranty dates? Adigy can help you do this and more. Drilling down in a detailed inventory view, memory, hard drive capacity, it's all there in Adigy. It's a single lens which gives you complete control over your small business or if you're an IT professional and you're deploying Adigy to many of your clients.
Adigy simplifies and streamlines the IT management of your Macs. Macs are not bulletproof anymore and require a comprehensive approach to security and management for macOS. Sign up for a trial to deploy software, system configurations, and perform a full audit of your assets in minutes. No server setup, no need to create packages, and no need to pay for days of training.
To find out more, visit adigy.com/CCP. That's ADDIGY.com/CCP. And thanks again to Adigy for sponsoring Command Control Power.
You know, one of the other things I wanted to share with you today, and it echoes what Marcy presented earlier with Answer Connect. I just recently signed up for a automatic attendant to pick up my live person, picking up the phone. You know, I mean, I've been aware of these services that were out there, Answer Connect and Call Ruby, and there's a few others out there. And, you know, I looked at the different price points, and there's a disparity in the market. And it's having that live person answer your phone. And I'm thinking like, well, you know, I can't afford the $100 or the $200 a month. So I've recently signed up with a service, and it's not Answer Connect. I've been happy with the service so far. I've been using them for about 2 weeks. And I can't tell you in those 2 weeks how it's like been such a liberating feeling to not have to worry that the phone's buzzing in my pocket, I'm at a client site, and I'm getting somebody who's asking me if I could fix a cracked iPhone screen, which we don't do. I know that there might be some of you here that do, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it's not part of the focus of our business. Or they're looking for, we're a daylight integrator, and they're looking for daylight cloud support. You very nicely just pass them on to Market Circle, and that's a great product, but it's like all these nuisance calls. I've been running with this company now for, and I showed this statistic to Sam a little bit earlier today, for a couple of weeks now, and I've gotten 84 calls that were basically non-consulting calls. they were Apple related, but they were mostly people calling about billing for iTunes. That's like, it just was driving me crazy. So this is, I like feel like so lifted. I can't tell you how fantastic it's been. And most of these companies have a trial where you can kick the tires for like a week or 14 days. So I encourage you all to, if you need that, if you're like me, or you've got a small company and you're spending a lot of money with somebody answering phones, you know, offload it to somebody else. Yeah, Marcy, Jerry, I don't know if you had anything you wanted to...
Carrie.
Yeah. Carrie.
You're doing great with names today, Jerry. Just phenomenal.
Carrie, I'm so sorry.
I think it's really important that you do automate your systems and also get rid of the nuisance calls. Let us answer them. Let us get the information to you, and then you get to dictate where your time goes. You get to dictate who's most important, who has the contract, who has the biggest contract. You get to dictate when you're going to call them back. And sure. I think that's huge for a lot of people. It's really easy for us to get you signed up. We don't have a 14-day trial, but we do have 50% off, so it's about the same thing. We customize your script, so we'll ask all of the questions that you need. We can send them to you via email or text, and I think that's what you're getting as well. We can also call you again if you need that extra support. And we can, in the script, say, this is something we don't handle, this is something we do handle. We'll have somebody get back to you right away. And with the integrations that we offer, it could just pull right into a ticket for you, and you guys could just go right from there.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Carrie Johnson.
Well, Karen
Booth. Karen.
Classic. I can't win.
That just made my day. You have no idea. Oh, wow. One sec. So I know, Will, you've been standing here. Please go ahead.
So one of the things that we do with our referrals for our home business customers and our SOHOs, we do rack up a credit for a free hour. We don't necessarily, they don't have to use it one off, but I will actually go in and generate credit for a business when they give me a referral. And that's a referral regardless of whether I close the deal or not with the new person, but it has to be a qualified lead. I don't have to make any money from the new referral. But when it comes to our larger, small business customers where they pay us, sometimes several thousand dollars a month, if they refer us and it's a successful referral, I will give them a free month. So it could be worth several thousand dollars to them to referral for us. And when you're talking about saving somebody that kind of money, it really does increase the referral space.
Will, have you done anything with your employees, possibly, like to encourage your staff to incentivize them to sell your services?
So not specifically. All the employees do get the stuff that we use for free. So they use the tools that we use personally and professionally. But when it comes to them doing customers, if they bring the customer in, they know that they're going to get a solid solution from us at a reasonable price. So I don't necessarily incentivize them that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's other ways of incentivizing that they get advantage of that I'm not going to say on the radio.
Yeah. You bring up something good, though, because I was going to ask a couple of people that had mentioned this piece of it, which is, do you have to close the deal? So that's a really important question that I had that you just immediately answered. To answer Joe's question indirectly, I only have one employee at this point in Connecticut. Thank you, Will.
Thanks. Will O'Neill, thanks.
Yeah, thank you. So right now, we offer a percentage if he closes a contract on our behalf. And that gives him incentive, at least in our opinion, to kind of try and make the sale for the organization, which also kind of makes for an interesting scenario at times. Sometimes he'll be talking with a potential new client, and I see that it's a good one, and I'm like, I might want to go in there and close the deal. And he's like, oh no, wait a second, I got this, because he knows he's going to get money out of that. Mm. So that becomes a little bit of a challenge sometimes, because at times I want to be the one to go in there because I think I can close the deal. And he's been with me a couple years, so I think my experience can lend to finishing off that task. Great answers, because I think we saw a couple different scenarios about that. Did we have another question as well?
Michael Johnson, right?
No.
Michael Thompson. The question was, did you receive any new business calls across that period in the last 2 weeks, and did you get any feedback about how that might have been handled?
That is a good question. No, I haven't gotten any new business. I mean, that's been part of the issue, is that, there's lots of return business. I'm not losing clients. So no leads have come in through the new service.
I'd just like to add one thing we do for referral is actually when we onboard one of our managed services clients, we actually build a certificate which is weighty enough to have put in the foyer of our client's site, and it states that Origin 84 look after this site as a managed services client. And it kind of weights back to some of the things that IBM did back in the day when they issued data centers, and there's the plaque and it says on this day it was launched and we did our best job and our best work. And we kind of want to make that as a point of accountability with the client, and if things are not going well, they can walk past that and just go, look, these guys are here to do this, they should be here and doing it right. And so we like seeing it on the walls as that point of accountability. But further than that, people stand in the foyer and read it, and they're reading that Origin 84 support this advertising agency, and while they're waiting for their meeting, we're getting silent referral. So it's just something that we've done. I know there are other people out here who do signature things, like, you know, booklets that are certain colours or whatever it is that's their, you know, their vibe when they work with their clients, physical things. And I'm going back to that, physical thing is very important in this electronic age. Sure. But yeah, I just wanted to add that.
So it's your mission statement.
No, it's not a mission statement. What it says is that on a certain date that the client with their address signed a services agreement with Origin 84, and that we wish them the best in their business, and that we will serve them as best as we possibly can.
And that's, how is that displayed in the lobby you mentioned?
So we get it framed, and it's about an A4 size. Mm-hmm. And it's black, it follows our branding, so it's our brand guideline, we present it, and it just, yeah.
I love it.
And it's a gift, idea. And every single client that we've given it to, and we give it to them with no expectation that they put it on the wall, has put it on the wall. So,
yeah.
I can certainly share a picture of one of those.
And we'll put that in the podcast when it gets released. Yeah, that'd be brilliant. Thank you.
That's a great idea.
Thank you.
That's awesome. This is one of the benefits of doing the show, is I get to steal so many ideas.
That's right.
That's such a great one.
Yeah. How many people are going to do this? Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it is a brilliant idea.
Richard, did you want to come? This is Richard Wingfield. He's been on our show before.
You got the name right.
You're one for five. Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
Actually, I've changed my name to Esposito. If next year all the name tags could just say Esposito, awesome. So I was just going to check with you guys, and maybe it's because Houston has 6 or 8 Apple stores in the area, mm-hmm. but am I the only one that's still stopping by Apple stores and talking? Now, I talk to the business team and specifically tell them not to refer any residential clients to me, mm-hmm. but I still find it's useful. I mean, with all the dongles we have to buy these days, I got to be in the Apple store anyway, so might as well talk to the business team, let them know what we do. So
it does seem
it's
like
still useful for me, and I didn't know if you guys were doing that.
It does seem like you have to actually show up, though, to get those referrals from the Apple store, in my experience.
Yeah, it's in
it's
person.
Kind of
it's in-person
like,
stuff.
Yeah. It's not a sit-back-and-wait kind of thing, in my experience. But, yeah, it's a good question. I mean, show of hands, anybody finding that to be a very... Yeah, I mean, a lot of 80, 90%.
They invited me in.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Did you present to the audience there?
It was called the Morning Digital Download, the Daily Download.
Okay.
I went in for 2 minutes, 3 minutes.
Yeah, I have talked to the business teams in Houston, and a few of the business team managers, after a casual conversation with them, have asked me to come in early before the store opens to present other solutions that are outside Apple's purview, just so so that their team members know what's out there, whether that's enterprise Wi-Fi, you know, an Aerohive or a Ubiquiti or something like that.
Part of it speaks to the care and the feeding of your Apple store. We've got another attendee, Stephen, over here, Stephen Boyle, from another fine technology company in Connecticut. And part of Stephen's team, there's a gentleman who goes, his job is to go visit every single store, am I right? In Connecticut, Apple Store. So that's something, and that's been very effective for you guys. Yeah, and so if you're able to make inroads with the Apple Store, wonderful. But it's a full-time job, or it's at least part of a part-time job. The care and feeding of the business team at an Apple Store is very important. It's true, you know, you reap what you sow.
Yeah. I think one of the things also in that relationship part is one thing that we did, we had a meeting with the business leader that managed a few different stores. A suggestion that I had was getting us involved much, much earlier in the client process. Because one of the things was we'd get involved way too late, and by that time, they may have scoped a solution that we wouldn't necessarily agree with. And we don't want to start off by disagreeing with the store based on that referral. So we ask that even if we don't make the sale per se, that we're involved in the discussion and managing what solution they should get in the end, because it makes for a much cleaner solution for us when we get the job, or even any other technician might get that job.
We'd like to take a moment to tell you about Watchman Monitoring. To find out about Watchman Monitoring and to sign up for your free trial, visit watchmanmonitoring.com/CCP. That's watchmanmonitoring.com/CCP.
Moving away from time and materials to managed service, this is the first place you start. Watchman Monitoring will monitor server software. It'll look up your backup systems that are running on your client machines, disk drives, RAID systems, networks, system performance, malware, demographics, and expirations. Take the first step to proactive support with Watchman Monitoring. It's built in to reduce the time you spend troubleshooting computers. Identify small problems before they become big problems. Be proactive and use Watchman Monitoring today.
To find out more and to sign up for your free trial, visit watchmanmonitoring.com/CCP. That's watchmanmonitoring.com/CCP.
We'd like to take a moment to tell you about ProSoft Engineering, software made with excellence since 1984. They are the makers of data rescue, hard drive and deleted file recovery, the new Drive Genius 5, the ultimate in Mac protection software, data backup, easy, powerful, and flexible backups for you and your client. The new Drive Genius 5 is here. It's the Swiss Army knife for managing you and your client disks. The newest edition features the comprehensive malware scan. Automate your malware protection for you and your clients. Drive Genius 5 also automates the monitoring for you and gives you a total control over your hard drive. 18 powerful features, including find duplicates, repartition, clone, secure, erase, defragment, and more. Clean up, speed up, and protect your Mac with Drive Genius 5.
To find out more, visit prosoftenG.com/CCP. That's prosoftenG.com/CCP. And thanks again to ProSoft Engineering for sponsoring Command Control Power.
So does anybody else have any tips with regards to growing your business and kickstarting your business into the next year?
What's his name, Jerry?
Dennis Esposito.
Dennis Esposito, everyone.
Dennis Nolan, folks.
I want to second the thought of working with your business team at the Apple Store. That they have been, Madison only has one Apple Store, but they have been by far the best lead for us for quality clients. It's very important that you spend the time teaching them what exactly your business is, what is your core market segment, what makes a great client for you. So that when they're talking to everybody that comes into the store, every business owner, they know when to refer them to you. Equally as important, I think even more important, is finding out what you can do to drive business their way, because they have sales goals they need to meet. They want to build relationships with businesses also. So find out what makes a good business for them and feed them those prospects also. Another thing that we have found that our clients really appreciate is never underestimate the usefulness and the gold, really, of a handmade object that you send to them. We used to send out a thank you to each of our clients every month that was a 8.5 by 17 fold over on watercolor paper with a deckled edge, and it had a photograph. I used to be a photographer, so I had a supply of these. A photograph inside with a printed message of how much we appreciated their business, what they meant to us, and everybody on staff signed it. Clients like these things so much, they appreciated them, that they would either frame them, put them in their lobby, or, you know, I'd have a meeting with them years down the road, and they just open a file drawer and you'd see all of them that they had saved, or they're hanging up around their desks. So it's becoming more rare for people to receive a handmade thank you of some sort, something that's tactile. I think the frame certificate in the lobby goes in this direction, but people really need that personal touch and value it. So think about that as a possible way to express your gratitude.
Nice. That's a great point, Dennis. And the converse is also true. The last thing people want any more of is email. So, I mean, if you're emailing your clients to say thank you, I mean, it's not a bad gesture, but also just adds to the pile of email we all get. So, yeah, that sounds like that's a great tip. Any other business growing tips before we get into some more, come on up, tech tip type things to keep the show topical?
This is Jason Detbarn, who from Adigy, and he's going to be presenting tomorrow and telling you a little bit about his product, right? Yeah.
So, I mean, the low-tech ways of promoting, I think, are just, as we continue to get more and more high touch with email, I mean, the low-tech stuff is amazing. So I always make sure all of my guys have their business cards in hand at all times. They're your representatives. They're always in the field. If they're engineers, they've got business cards on them. Support all of them. They're owners of your brand, they're representatives, and they should always be available to be able to hand out that business card. And that's really important in my view. The other one is, on the referral basis, I don't really do anything official, but once somebody has really provided that referral, they've given that level of pretty emotional buy-in to something. Like last month I sent to Valiant in New York, Tom Clancy, a bottle of rum from 18-year aged Flor de Caña rum. And I've done that before with other people, and what's been beautiful about it is they open it up in a at a pool party, and everybody's having fun with it, and it's the experience of that, right? He did that with his team too. So it means a lot when people actually provide that referral, and that low-tech way of, maybe you gotta know your customer. Maybe a bottle of rum is not the right answer, but
right.
A bottle of rum, yeah. It can go a lot further than you think. And with a handwritten note and FedExed out, and it just separates the emails.
That's a really great point. And if you've ever been lucky enough to share a bottle of something that's been gifted to someone else, you know, they always tell you, you know, where they got it. It's my contact at this company, and this is the business we do together. So it's there's always a story that goes along with it. That's a great point.
I want to know where my bottle of rum is. Tomorrow's keynote is Mike Michalowicz. He's going to talk about profit first, but who here has read his book, The Pumpkin Plan? So a lot of you know that in The Pumpkin Plan, he talks about referrals, and he talks about finding companies to partner with. So for example, who here has worked with a company that has a printer company that you're not maintaining? Like they have a third-party printing company. Ask the printing company if they have other Mac clients that they can refer you to, and then vice versa. So that it's that second level that you can get to using that referral path. Right. And if you haven't read his book, do read his book. I talk about it, I think, every episode I'm on with you guys, but do read his book about it. And it's a great way to find some more.
Yeah, great tip.
Yeah, we recently talked about that on a show.
Yeah.
Partnering with referral clients.
Other vendors,
other people in technology that you work with.
I just had a quick, total side note. Thanks, JD, for being here. Really quick thing that just reminded me because of the printer company. I was working with a printer tech. He was coming to install a big honking printer, and he couldn't figure out how to do a scan to network via his web interface. And so I'm on the computer trying to figure this out for him. He calls his boss in the meantime, and he's like, yeah, we can't figure this out. He leaves him a voicemail, and I'm trying to figure out his solution for him. And I finally come to the answer. I'm like, I got it. Let's test it, and it works. And he's like, great. And then his boss calls him back, and he goes, oh, yeah, it's no problem. I fixed it. And I'm like, really? You fixed it?
And you were there.
Yeah, I was standing right next to him as he says this. So it really ticked me off, but I let it go. Yeah, I'm not bitter at all. I just said it all on air. Right?
What was that company, Sam?
Yeah, I'm not going there. No.
I think I turned it off on you, JD. Sorry.
See how you are? No. One of the things that I found is that finding new customers is really hard. How about looking at your existing customer base and see what other offerings that you have to offer them and see if you can't increase the revenue you're already getting from those existing customers and grow your business that way.
Yeah, great point.
Yeah.
JD Strong.
JD Strong Esposito.
One little tip that Sam and I discovered was you can daisy chain your MacBooks together if you've got the USB-C to charge them. So you can go from one to the other with a USB-C to USB-C cord.
We proved it doesn't explode yet.
It's gotten a little hot. Yeah. But
So just to be clear, you plug in by USB-C to one of the MacBook Pros, and then you plug in the other one to that one, and they both charge, apparently. I believe my quote was, that won't work. And in fact, these guys proved me wrong.
Absolutely won't work.
I had a suggestion. My voice is really raw, I'm sorry. But I had a suggestion or a tip that we use with Answer Connect. The first thing that we do is when you become a client, we send out a welcome basket, and it might be coffee, it might be chocolate, but it's local to where we are. We're in Portland, that's our main office. So we send that out within just a few weeks after you've signed up. Another thing that we do, we have a newsletter that goes out, and we don't get anything for this. This is just part of what we do. So what we will do is do a client spotlight, and we will talk about a client's business, we'll interview them, and it goes out in that newsletter that goes out to 8,000-9,000 clients. So it allows you the opportunity to have an exposure as a business that you might not have otherwise. Now, if some of you have businesses where you're working with multiple clients like that and you do a newsletter, that's a way for them to have more exposure, and by them having that exposure, it builds that relationship with you and then allows you to build your business ultimately. So
great tips. Yeah. Yeah. Great. Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. For the last part of the show, we'll switch gears a little bit. We'll go into just a few tech tips. We touched on the daisy chain charging, which I don't know if that's sanctioned by Apple or anything, but
by the way, can someone please unplug mine while I'm not next to it?
Right, not monitoring it. Yeah. Jerry, you want to take a crack at his name here?
I will make one note on the daisy chain charging. If you do plug your computer into itself, it also thinks it's charging.
Oh, awesome. Free energy.
Did you just try that?
I tried that a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
Wow, I'm glad you tried that. I would never have wanted to try
But this
that.
Is the only kind of room of people that would get a laugh. You know, right. Everywhere else it would be stone silence.
I didn't leave it long enough to see if it ran down, but I guess it would.
It becomes a handy strap, too. That's great.
You could hang your Mac. Yeah.
That's put it over your shoulder.
A couple of quick tips here. This one almost bit us recently. We reconnected with a client we'd recently set up to back up by both Time Machine and Backblaze. For whatever reason, the external hard drive where the main data was stored also was going to be the Time Machine backup of just the startup disk. Before we did that, though, that external storage was set up as the Backblaze backup destination. So it was backing up by Backblaze, everything was working fine. When we went and checked later, we realized it was not backing up by Backblaze. That one volume was no longer included. So does anybody know why that would be? Just yell out the answer. Backblaze does not support backing up
a time machine
volume.
It recognizes it as a Time Machine volume and immediately discounts it.
Exactly. So if you already have it set up as a Time Machine destination, it won't let you include it in the Backblaze backup. And of course, you know that and everything's fine. But if you set it as a backup destination or to a device to be backed up, and then later you set it as a Time Machine backup destination, it will just silently remove it from your backup. So keep that in mind.
So if you partitioned, that would have solved it.
Yeah, you could partition it, exactly. Then
good
the
point.
One volume could be the Time Machine volume. Anyway, that's kind of just a quick tip.
Can I just dovetail off
Please.
Of that? So since neither one of these companies, Backblaze or CrashPlan, is a sponsor, and I know there's some people who are not that fond of CrashPlan because it implements a form of Java, Backblaze isn't reliant on it. But one of the things that's really significant that I prefer to put clients with CrashPlan because it'll keep historical data, where Backblaze, you can really get bitten by that. Where it can't go back that far. I think it can go back
30 days, I think.
Yeah, if that. I'm thinking 14 days.
A quick question. Is anybody using Retrospect with the V2, and are there limits on the backup for that?
I can't tell if you're joking right now, because it's been that long since I've used Retrospect. Will has a question about Retrospect.
I would love to say that I am, but the question is, Retrospect is back, and I don't know enough about it.
Who owns them now?
It does work with Retrospect, with Backblaze V2 storage, not the Backblaze product.
I see.
I see it as for the people that are bitten by CrashPlan as a potential replacement for CrashPlan because of the Java problem, the number of file limits and the terabyte limits that CrashPlan is going to be introducing. It's maybe an alternative, and I'm just wondering if it also bites there. I don't know.
Another interesting point about Backblaze is that if a drive is disconnected for too long, it'll tell the client, you know, hey, we've got a missing hard drive here that's no longer being backed up. You better reconnect it. If you go too long with the drive disconnected, it just erases the backups of that drive. So you might have a drive that just fails and therefore stops being connected to the computer. And then after a certain amount of time, the backups are just erased.
Right. You see that client once a month and then you come back and there's nothing left.
Because they didn't notify you. Of course, if you have Watchman monitoring installed, you'll be able to pay attention to that kind of thing.
There
So that's there's some important tips. I'm a big fan of Backblaze because it's a no-brainer way to back up a client computer, but you just have to know the sort of limitations there.
I had a quick story. I had an issue recently. I don't know if anyone else, actually Jerry after me had this very same issue, so I figured it was worth talking about on the show. I had a 10.8 server running. It's very old. I don't see this client very often, obviously. And we needed to bump them up to the latest operating system. So we first, there's an Apple tech support article on this. We first bumped them up to, I believe it was, at the time I had the installer, was Mavericks. So I bumped up to Mavericks first in order to bump up the server app data. Here's where I made a mistake. So I used a slightly older version of the server app. So I went from 10.8 to 10.9. Bumped up the server data to the Maverick server data, and then upgraded to Sierra. Well, what I found, I see a couple people shaking their heads, is it wouldn't upgrade the server data because it was too old, because I hadn't patched that version of the server app in Mavericks. So I was left in a really bad condition where I had a server that wasn't running and all the services weren't running. Luckily, I found out the services that I had run on there were, I think it was file sharing, VPN, what else did we have? Because you had the very same issue.
Open Directory was still there.
Yeah, Open Directory. So as it turns out, all I needed to do, and this seems crazy, is I went to the library server folder and I deleted it. Crazy. So then I relaunched the server app, it rebuilt itself, and the services that I needed weren't in that directory. Because file sharing doesn't live there, Open Directory doesn't live there, and my server was back up and running.
All the users were in place.
All the users, all the groups, all the settings were running completely. So if you were as stupid as I was and didn't update the server app at the time before you bumped it, that's your way out of it. And it was so funny. The reason why I brought it up, like I said, is because Jerry, the next week?
This happened to me, and I'm like, oh my God. Like the server app won't launch because it's the wrong version.
Well, it couldn't update the server data.
Right. Yeah. I was horrified because, the client needed to have this restored right away. Text Sam, and Sam's got the answer.
I didn't tell him at the time that I just had this happen. I'm like, sure, I know how to do this. Don't worry about it.
Wonderful.
Also teach you to have a clone of your server before you do software.
Yes, absolutely right. Yeah, so in other words, don't be me.
Right.
Yeah, I get it.
So
you don't have to rub it in.
Read the instructions and follow the manual. Yeah. That's the good tip.
My, what did I say to you? My failure is your success?
Yeah, that's right.
As we joke, I've been doing a lot of traveling, and one of the things I think about is just how to be more sort of resilient, have redundancy built in and things like this. So when you're on the road and you're traveling, you're in and out of airports, and basically everything I do is on my phone. I mean, how many people use paper printouts for hotel information or even boarding passes anymore? You know, your phone is your tool for basically everything. And so if your phone stops working or you just need to get online somehow, sometimes it's helpful to have a backup phone, right? What about your cell service? So I've been thinking about having a backup phone with service on a different provider. This is not as expensive as it sounds because I have phones on two different providers. I have AT&T and Verizon phones. I have company phones on Verizon and my personal phone on AT&T with a couple of other phones on there. I'm able to have a SIM card on Verizon, and I was using that in an old iPhone 5S for a while, and I realized that that phone was on AT&T, so I wasn't getting the ideal Verizon service on it. It would work, but it wouldn't connect to most towers, basically. So the service was pretty poor. So I was looking for another way to use this without having to carry these two phones or buy a new phone for my Verizon backup service. This phone that I carry is now using AT&T service, but it actually is a Verizon phone. the Verizon iPhone can run both AT&T and Verizon service. It has support for those signals. So in any case, I wanted to be able to carry a Verizon SIM card and put it in this phone as a backup, or have service on another device as a backup. And what I found was that Verizon SIM cards are not tied to a device. I have an old iPad for Verizon, and I was able to take my SIM card that came with this iPhone 7 and put it into an iPad mini and have data service on the iPad mini. And it's totally supported by Verizon. There's no problems with that. So now I have data service on an iPad mini, and I can take that SIM card out because it actually has phone service associated with it and put it into my iPhone 7. So it's a way to have not only data service on two different devices and two different carriers, but also the ability to have a working phone with a backup SIM card as well. So I thought that was an interesting point, because AT&T is a lot more strict about which SIM card is active on which device and things. Anyway, any other tips for like resiliency and stuff like that? I'm always interested in how to be more sort of redundant and not get left in the lurch as I'm traveling around the world.
We'll share with everybody the switch you ordered to
do
a
yes,
hard reboot.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, between trips.
Thanks
to Ryan Grimes, exactly. I was thinking about these remote power reboot switches. I had ordered one for a client from 3gstore.com. It's like some kind of IP web switch thing with two outlets. It looks a little cheap. It's plastic. And so I was looking into other options. The reason this came up recently and I said I have to just buy this thing now is because I was between trips. I was in Europe last week for a friend's wedding, and I spent 4 hours in New York before I flew here. On that quick stopover, I had to go to my office to turn on my servers because there was a power outage on Memorial Day. For whatever reason, they didn't reboot automatically. I think it's because I had them all on a battery backup and they were configured to shut down gracefully. And so when power is restored, they don't reboot gracefully. In any case, I really need one of these reboot switches now to save myself a trip to the office. It's called Webroot. Is Ryan here? Where's Ryan? Will, do you know?
I was going to suggest a different brand. The website is On Aisle 8.
Oh, that's the one.
They have a web-driven interface for one login for all of their products.
Exactly. So you
OVRC.net, but On Aisle 8 is where you order them from.
Exactly.
OVRC.net, you said?
.net or .com. OVRC.net or .com. That's the web portal once you get set up, but you buy the thing from On Aisle 8.
Exactly.
Similar to the Meraki interface.
They have an iOS app as well that you can read.
Right. Well, that's what was so attractive. And not only that, is you can assign identities to each electrical port on this switch.
I bought the Wattbox. It's the 12-port version. So this way I can reboot. I have a couple different servers. And, you know, you can reboot the modem separately from the router and so on.
Reboot plug 5.
Right, exactly. And you can do that through the web interface. You can do that through the iPhone app. You can get, like, a little remote switch that actually plugs into the unit. So you can have your staff, you know, give them the ability to press a button, which does whatever you command it to do, which could be power cycle the modem and then wait a minute and power cycle the router or something like that. So it's a really cool product, and I think it's going to save me some trouble in the future, I'm sure.
The other option is to just schedule it to race back every day.
Yeah. That's a good point. That's what I thought of too, is I could just have it reboot in the morning at, you know, 6 a.m. or something like that. Whether it's off or on, it will start up even if it's powered down. Does anybody else have a solution to that? I think this is like an age-old problem where if you have a battery backup connected to your Mac and the Mac is plugged into it by USB and it recognizes the battery backup, the UPS, and it configured to automatically gracefully shut down when there's X amount of power remaining. If it gracefully shuts down, when power is later restored, it doesn't automatically boot back up. So that's just the way it is. So I don't know of any other solution. If you power cycle later, does it come back on?
Energy settings, you can just schedule to start up at a certain time.
Exactly. So the advice here is to schedule it to start up automatically, like every morning or something like that. Yeah. So worst case is it's down for one night, but it could be down for a day if the power goes out at, you know, 7 a.m. and it's already missed its scheduled to reboot.
Just set it to power on when power is restored.
And it can do that?
Can set it down, can turn itself back on when it detects power.
Interesting. So Will's saying that Energy Saver can be set to boot the machine back up when power is restored.
Everyone look at their Energy Saver settings
Energy
right
Saver.
Now.
The server setting that you're talking about there, though, doesn't work. It shuts if you set it.
Yeah, if it does a graceful shutdown, I think that basically just leaves it in a powered off state. That's been the trouble over the years. So maybe you don't want a graceful shutdown. I'm not sure what else to do. Yeah, it's like
what you do is you script it to halt and then you force shut it down.
Interesting, yeah. So that at least all the services are stopped and it's somewhat graceful. Or you could just plug it into Jerry's MacBook, and which is plugged into Sam's MacBook, and then everything remains powered on indefinitely, I guess. Yeah. Yeah. So I think we're just about it's just about time. Any other quick questions from the audience? Or yeah.
Actually, I have a very simple question, but I do think you're gonna have to change it. Your command control power statement is that you have combined experience of 30 years. Is that still correct?
I think it's more now. It must be much more now. Let's see, 2004 for me. So what year are we in? So
13? I'm at 19 years.
Yeah, okay.
So
between the two of us, we're
14,
already past 30.
Right?
Yeah. All right. So
Joe's got two, so we're,
We're gonna do some quick math here and update the site right after we finish up. That's a great point, Ravi. I also want to make one last announcement. Thank you so much to our three new patrons just in the time we've been speaking here. Wayne Nelson, I assume you're out here. Thank you very much for your support. Jerome, thank you very much. And Tom Poles. Awesome. Thank you guys so much for your support.
I
really appreciate it. Yeah, come on up, get your t-shirt, and we'll look forward to buying you around actually very shortly. And we hope to see you all there. Whether you're a patron or not, stop by and hang out with us and talk off the air. Or we might get the equipment back out. You never know.
And one more shout out to our sponsors, Jamf Now, ProSoft Engineering, Adigy, and Watchman Monitoring. Thank you all for making this possible. And thank you, Justin Esgar, for putting on such a fine ACES 2017. Absolutely amazing. Congratulations to John Pawlicek of the Cohort Networks in Toronto, Canada, and Howard Mullinek of We Fix Your Mac in Berkeley, California. Winners of the Seagate Iron Wolf NAS Drive Giveaway. Iron Wolf, the power of agility for everything NAS. Thanks to Seagate, and thanks to our winners.
And thanks again to our sponsors for this very special episode of Command Control Power. Watchman Monitoring. We find problems before they find you. WatchmanMonitoring.com/CCP. Adigy, your cloud-based Mac management platform. Adigy.com/CCP. ProSoft, software made with excellence since 1984. ProSoftENG.com/CCP. And Jamf Now. Jamf Now helps you manage your Apple devices from anywhere and on demand. Jamf.com/CCP.
If you'd like to find out more about this special edition of Command Control Power, visit callandyesposito.com.